Our scripture this morning is taken from Acts chapter 20. We're going to look at several verses. Acts 20, verses 22 and following. As we face, live in a world that's broken, and as we're called into situations that are often uncertain, how are we to handle them? Let's stand and read these three helpful verses from Acts 20. These are words from St. Paul on his third missionary journey. Who says, "And now behold, I'm going to Jerusalem, constrained by the Spirit, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies to me in every city that imprisonment and afflictions await me. But I do not account my life of any value, nor as precious to myself, if only I may finish my course and the ministry that I receive from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God." The Word of God, may He strengthen your hearts this morning with it. Please be seated. When you're put in an uncertain situation, sometimes it's no fun. The fact is, it's rarely any fun. How many of you remember Mr. T? Muscle-bound Mr. T with that kind of a mohawk haircut, or whatever that was, a big gold chain around his neck, massive man, and they faced a lot of challenges on the A-team. Well, I remember in one movie clip that they had to get on this airplane. And this big husky man says, "I ain't getting on no plane." So, having some good friends like he did, they drugged him. Stuffed him on a plane where he didn't want to be, to get to the destination where he needed to be to do an important task. Well, many of us get nervous up in high places, you know, crossing bridges, looking down to the bottom where the water is. We might fall in. And we get nervous when we're put in a situation where we're unfamiliar with and things appear a bit uncertain and we may not feel that we have any control. And some people, just because they want control, it's interesting how they respond. It's an interesting observation made by some researchers. Michael Dugason, can't pronounce this guy's name, but his buddy Robert L., they found a basic feature of worry is the inability to tolerate uncertainty. Worry is the inability to tolerate uncertainty. And so for some people, they said that for some worriers, they would rather know for sure that the outcome is going to be bad rather than being left in suspense and not knowing at all. Now, that's some dramatic worry. Now, it's a challenge, isn't it? When God calls you into a situation that maybe you're unfamiliar with. Maybe you're in a situation now. Maybe you're familiar with it, but maybe you just don't have any control and you don't know which way it's going to shift. Whether that relationship's going to drift apart or drift closer together. Whether the situation is going to get more burdensome or the load will be lifted. The rule of thumb, though, that I'm learning is that God wants you and me to walk with confidence. He wants you and me to walk with faith, trusting in Him, in the uncertainty. Verse 22, Paul says, "And now, behold, I'm going to Jerusalem, constrained by the Spirit, not knowing what will happen to me there." Not knowing what will happen to me there. Verse 22 is about calling. In this time in Paul's life, he was going to be called into a challenging situation. You remember the story of Abraham. Abraham was called into a challenging adventure. In Genesis 12, God approaches Abraham and instructs him, saying, "Go forth from your country, from your relatives, from your father's house, to the land which I will show you." In other words, I want you to move out of your comfort zone. Now you're going into another land. And there's going to be a lot of things that come down that you won't know until you get there. Or the story of Joseph. You can imagine being him and his lovely, helpful brothers, right? They stuff him in a dark hole, an abandoned well, and then have a little mercy on him. Didn't leave him to die, so they just sell him into slavery. And now he ends up in another land. And not knowing the people, apparently not knowing the language. Can you imagine that? If someone just took you and stuffed you, you know, in China or somewhere, you don't know, maybe they'll put you in Libya. Or you find yourself in a situation you don't want to be. You got to figure it out. Well, the question is, when God puts you in your uncertain situation, are you comfortable with God? Maybe not comfortable with the situation, but are you comfortable with God? Are you trusting in Him with all that uncertainty around you? Are you a person of faith? Isn't that what we are, Christians? Christians are people of faith. That's how we got a connection to Christ, putting our faith in Him. John Ortberg, he says that too much comfort is dangerous. You get too comfortable, it can be a dangerous situation for you. Literally, researchers at the University of California, Berkeley, they did an experiment some time back involved an amoeba. You remember what that is, right? An amoeba? Anybody? Yeah, one-cell organism. It's a simple form of life. Doesn't get any more basic than that. So we've got a one-celled animal. And so they're trying to create this perfect environment for it. What they do is they want to create a stress-free environment. How many would like that? Right? A stress-free environment. So they did what they could. They did these basic three things. They had ideal temperature. In our house, you know, somebody's like pushing the temperature up. Somebody's pulling it down, you know what I mean? Some people come in this house and say it's like a freezer. Others say, you know, you're in an oven. So, well, they control the ideal temperature there. And then the optimal concentration of moisture for the cell. And then they have constant food supply. How many are for that? A constant food supply. And hopefully the good stuff. So, you would think that this would make for one happy little amoeba, right? That would thrive. Well, wrong. Whatever it takes for amoebas to avoid ulcers and high blood pressure, it was gone, but yet oddly enough, an amoeba dies. Apparently, there's something about living creatures, even amoebas, that requires challenge and demands, some pull and tug on its life. Or it doesn't do well. Just as we require food and air, we require in this world down here something pulling at us so that it could draw us in another direction toward God. We get a pull on our lives so that we'll be pulled in our spirit upward toward God. That's why God puts us in the world. Pull us this way so that we might be pulled the other way, above. And we want job security, right? That's why they create tenure, for example. Job security. Who wouldn't want job security? Who doesn't want health security, right? You want to just go to the doctor one last time and his doctor say, you're good to go, you don't need to see me anymore for a year. Wouldn't it be nice if he said no more for 10 years? He's not going to say that. You know, sometimes he'll say, I need to see you in 6 months or 3 months. Or this time, I need to see you next week. In fact, why don't you go get blood work every week, you know, and so you get all this stuff. We want health security, we want a stable social security. I mean, all kinds of security that we want, which might not be good for us down here. But it's a challenge, you know, if you have your kids are going off in the military. And you're worried about walking the street because people are playing the knockout game. And you don't know if someone's going to come up and whack you in the head from behind. Or your loved one cuts off a couple fingers, severs his thumb. One thing I've learned after 35 years of ministry is that God wants you to expect uncertainty. Get familiar with it, get comfortable with it, and say, this is a part of my life. God wants me to live with uncertainty. And wouldn't it be great if we could, everything could be uncertain except God? Because isn't that the bottom line? Instead, we build these codependencies, depending on people, depending on paycheck, depending on our health, depending on all this other stuff. And then finally, one day, it's pulled out, taken away from us, or tugged away. James says, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. So I ask you, I ask myself, is your faith slipping away? Is your confidence in God slipping away like sand slipping through an hourglass? And we're put in a situation, sometimes we feel that, really, you're just hanging on. My faith is slipping away. My joy is slipping away. I mean, we all get there. We all have been there. Maybe some of you are there now where you just don't have a lot of joy and vitality and because this situation's pulling on you. And so what do? Well, in a word, reconnect. That's what we need to do. We need to reconnect to God through Christ. And so I was up in Boston. I was trying to remember where it was. My wife said, you were in Boston doing some education work up there a few years back, quite a few. And so I got this phone call. Yeah, what's happening? And she said, I have a question for you. The plumber's been at our house the second day. And he's been working on the furnace, trying different things. Well, today, he took the furnace home with him. She said, do you know anything about the furnace and what might be the problem? Can you give me any suggestions at all? And I said, well, I have two. The first one is, why didn't you call me yesterday? The second one is, did he check the switch at the top of the stair steps? You know, the red switch that means connect, on, heat off. We didn't know there was a switch. Basically, the plumber's got the furnace in his house working on it, tearing it apart, trying to figure it out. The whole problem was perfectly fine furnace. It just wasn't connected. True story. The thing is, if you know Christ, you're good to go. You understand that? You're good to go. But the environment around you might not be so good. It's faltering. It's uncertain. So what are we going to do when we start to worry? Been out of shape. Joy is gone. It's not that difficult. You know, if our lives are going to stay a bit warmer in a cold, uncertain world, we've got to reconnect to God through Christ. In verse 24, he says, I don't account my life of any value, nor is my as precious to myself, if only I may finish my course in the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel. What are we reconnecting to? We're reconnecting to the gospel. And what is that? Well, by now, most of you know what that word is. Euangelion, it's the word evangelize, literally. It's the Greek word for message or news. And then there's a prefix, which is good. Eu, like eureka, euphoria, eulogy. And so we have a message that's good. We have a statement. We have biblical content about stuff that's happened in space and time and history. And it's good stuff that's happened. And as we reconnect to that, it brings us vitality, it brings renewed joy, it brings something into the situation that helps us to cope so we don't have to yell at our boss. We don't have to worry. We can actually sleep at night. We have good news. And that's what St. Paul was in the business of doing. He was carrying positive news in a negative world. In his third missionary journey, he's going back to Jerusalem, called into a situation that wasn't going to be real happy. He wasn't certain about the details there, but it wasn't going to be good. You know, there's definitely a lot of bad news out there. My wife told me today that the account for the super typhoon has gone up. Now it's like 5,000 dead. I think in the bulletin I put it in Thursday, it was like 3,500. Crime rise in Baltimore City. They pump all this money into to help with the police trying to do the programs to improve. Instead, the crime rate appears to be going up instead of down. A lot of bad news. And so a lot of time, we don't want to hear it. One dad was coming home from work and said, tough day at the office. Father came home from a rough day and he said to his wife, he says, oh, honey, he says, I've had a bad day. I don't want to hear any bad news. If you got any bad news, just keep it to yourself. She says, okay, I got it. And she says, okay, I got it. No bad news. Now, for the good news. Here's the good news. Honey, do you remember you have four children? She says, yeah. Or he says, yeah, I remember I have four children. She says, well, the good news is that three of them did not break their arm today. Really? Well, good news. C.S. Lewis says, truth is that we don't really need new ideas as much as we need to reconnect to old truths. Think about it. It's not so much we need new ideas as believers, but reconnecting with old truths. And it doesn't get any more basic than this truth that you have good news. It's yours. You understand? That's why you came to Christ. You found something good in Him that you didn't have before. It put you on a journey to where the news is even going to get better, so to speak, when we get through this uncertain world. When we actually have in our hands the good that we have now by faith and we need to reconnect to. And what is it? It's the gospel. The gospel. What does it mean? Well, it's the gospel of grace. You see it right there in the text? Paul's about to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. What is grace? Give me the definition. What's the standard definition? Unearned favor? What? Unearned favor, unmerited favor. And of course, when you actually look at it, it's not just that you have something you didn't earn. How many got a paycheck recently? How many like to have a paycheck? Okay. All right, so you got it. You earned it, right? You got grace of something you didn't earn. But it's more than that. It's more than getting this good from God that you don't earn. It's actually, you sit there completely disqualified. Not only didn't earn it, but you don't deserve it. You understand? You forfeited any claim on it whatsoever. That's what impressed Martin Luther so much about the gospel, as he discovered this. It was an amazing thought that God justifies the wicked. God, to put it more mildly, justifies the guilty. Maybe you can identify with that better, because usually we don't think of ourselves as wicked. But guilty, that we can connect with. And now God says, hey, you're okay. You know what? I put my arm around you. I'm going to put you in an uncertain situation, but I got my arm around you. You're good to go. You don't need to worry. The gospel of grace. And this is the message that Paul had to tell the people around him. The pagan world, from country to country as he went. You know, Brian Chappell, who's the former president of Covenant Seminary, he tells the story of what happened in his hometown. It's a very touching story. He said there were two brothers playing on the sandbanks by the river. And so they ran up this steep mound of sand, and one after the other. And then when they got to the top, basically they disappeared. You see, unfortunately, the sand, Brian Chappell says the sand was unstable. And they almost instantly sunk down into the sand. And when the boys didn't return home for dinner, they started looking for them. The neighbors organized a search. Finally, they found the younger brother was unconscious. He was like buried in the sand. It was up to his head was out and his shoulder was out, shoulders. And he was unconscious. So he says when they finally pushed away all the sand and they, you know, got him down to his waist, he woke up. And they says, oh, where's your brother? And the child replied, he said, I'm standing on his shoulders. But the sacrifice of his own life, the older brother, basically, he lifted the younger brother up, you know, to safety. And the sacrificial love of the older brother literally served as the foundation upon which the younger brother's life could be saved and could breathe. It's in the same way, isn't it, that our older brother, Jesus Christ, has come into the world so that we could stand upon his shoulders. Isn't that what we do? His substitutionary death on the cross, his perfect life, isn't that what we stand on that makes us acceptable to God? And we have hope. We have new life. We can breathe in a world of uncertainty. And we do it by faith. And that's what's amazing about the gospel, is that it gives undeserving people a breath of fresh air, a breath of life through what Christ has done for us. And we know what's very powerful about this story of St. Paul as he's going in his missionary journey. It's like, when you think about the book again, you know, you can. It's easy to put words in a book, any book. You can write them down with a pen and a paper. You can be a journalist. And it's not easy to write a story, but, you know, it's easy to talk and talk, have information. Say, hey, I got a good message. But you know what? This is not only saving grace, this is enabling grace. St. Paul not only has a pen and a piece of paper, not only has some words to say, but his life is willing to go at risk and put himself in a situation to speak for Christ, because it's empowering, enabling grace. And that's what you see in the passage. You know, Paul says he's called to take this message, and in every city, did you see it in the text? He says that in every city that he's going to be called to suffer affliction for Christ and imprisonment. And so I know if it were me, you know, I'd probably be telling God, hey, Lord, can't it just be every other city? How about a little relief? Yet Paul stepped forward and was willing to serve him. Well, as we move to a close, sometimes all we need is just a little place to grab a hold when your life is uncertain. Sometimes we just need a little foothold, right, to get our toes in and grab a hold. For example, like, how many have ever done rock climbing? Any of you? Okay. Ever done really difficult climbing? They say, I've never done it, you know. I like walking up the street down around town. That's about it. Seriously. But they say when you climb some of these rocks and stuff, they have like, sometimes you're stuck and you just need a little crevice to get a couple fingers in, so you can kind of pull yourself up, or if you can get a toe hold, you can push yourself off. And isn't that what grace does for us? We find ourselves in a difficult situation. If I can just get a little hold of grace here, so I can push myself upward and forward. You know, and it's like, that's what we need. Reconnecting to undeserved grace. Enabling grace. Not only saves us, but enables us to keep on keeping on until we get the real deal, which is not too far off for those of us who believe. Along the way, hopefully we will talk a lot about the grace that's enabled us to keep moving on and share it with those around us. I want to close with this poem by John. It's actually by John Huss. And John Huss was considered, after John Wycliffe, he was considered the first church reformer, as he helped lead the Reformation, even before Luther and Calvin. And he wrote something called Grace and Favor. And he was martyred, by the way, for his faith that enabled him to speak for Christ early in the Reformation. Huss said these words, Jesus Christ, our blessed Savior, turned away God's wrath forever. By his bitter grief and woe, he saved us from the evil foe. Christ says, come, all you that labor, and receive my grace and favor. Those who feel no need nor ill, need no physician's help or skill. As his pledge of love undying, he, this precious food supplying, gives his body as your bread. And for your wine, his blood he shed. Praise the Father who from heaven unto us such food has given, and to mend what we have done, gave unto death his only Son. If your heart this truth professes, and your mouth your sin confesses, his dear guest you here shall be, and Christ himself shall banquet thee. Someone has said, when you get to the end of your rope, tie a knot and hold on with confidence. Help is coming soon. Lord, we bow before you. As we live in this uncertain situation of this world, as the people around us live in circumstances that are so uncertain, Lord, help us to reconnect. Help us to grab firm hold on Jesus Christ, our grace, our undeserved favor, that we might find your grace sufficient for us in all of our needs, sufficient for those around us who sit alone with us, undeserving, but have a Savior through Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.